Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. If you didn't already know that, the day we celebrate the birth of the church, the day that God sent His Spirit to set people on fire. And I thank God for the outpouring of His Spirit. Amen? Anybody thankful for that? I'll tell you, this morning, as Joyce shared that word, there's times where if somebody shares the word, there's usually just one little piece of it that sticks out to me. And I don't know if you caught it, that she said, we're to be like Jesus, be like God. And the title of my sermon today is, to be like God. When we consider being like God, being like Christ, you know, everything that we do in our life, every single action we take, every word that we speak, every thought even that we have, we got one or two ways of going about things. We're either going to go by the flesh, right? What I want, what I desire, what I feel, what I think, or we're going to operate by the Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit is impressing upon our hearts, and the desire that God has for our lives and for the things that He says. And when we think about these things of the flesh, right, it comes back to me, me, me. I love what Jake shared a few weeks ago during prayer about when you go to heaven, if you're asked at the gates, you know, why are you here? If it starts with I did or me, you probably got it wrong, right? You're probably missing the point. But if it starts with He or Jesus, He did this, then we've got it right. See, when we're doing things by the way of the flesh, we start to do what seems right to us. We use these words that we like to use. Well, I'm being logical, right? I'm just being reasonable. I'm doing what makes sense. You know, we can accomplish really good things that way. We can accomplish some great things by doing what's logical, reasonable, and what makes sense to us. We can do great things. The question is, what will be the fruit of those things? What will come of them, and will they last? On the flip side of that, we can contrast that with doing things by the Spirit. What is God's heart and desire? What is He thinking about these things? It's not what seems right, but it actually brings us to a place of doing what is right. And often the things of the Spirit, the things of God, defy logic and reason. They don't make sense. And somebody right there is like, that's not good English. We just sang a song that said, don't make or don't do. Like, it didn't make sense either. But it doesn't always make sense. But what we do know is that the things that we can accomplish by the Spirit, the things that God leads us to do, are things that will last. We know they're things that will produce eternal fruit, things that will last forever. And so as we consider those two ways that we can go with our lives every day, by the flesh, by the Spirit, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of days when I'm having a bad day, and when I get toward usually the end of my day, because I'm not smart enough to stop in the middle, I get to the end of the day, and I think, you know why that was so bad? You know why I behaved the way I did, or why I thought the way I did? Because I was doing that all by the flesh. It was all about me. It was all about what I think, what I feel, what I want, and how I think other people should do. And it wasn't about, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say about this situation? When we consider those two different ways that we can live our lives, there's a couple different parts of the word that we're going to dig in today. We're going to look at the story of Babel and then, of course, the day of Pentecost. But if we consider that once upon a time in this town of Babylon, right, men gathered and they were in unity. Unity is a good thing, right? We say we should be in unity. Everybody agree with that? Unity is good. These people, these men, They gathered in unity and they had an idea. Seemingly a good idea, that if we work together, we can do something that nobody's ever done before. We can do something impressive. We can do something that people will talk about. We can do something that will make our names live on forever. We will be like gods. They had an idea. They had material. They had some skills, right, that God had given them. And they thought, man, we can make a way. Now, by the flesh is how they are operating, but we can make a way to be like God. This is in Genesis chapter 11, if you are unfamiliar with it, or if you've only heard the kids' version. This is in Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had some brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them from abroad, from over there, all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth." This right here, what a display of unity. The things that men can accomplish when they work together. Now, if you take that and you give them good food, there's really things that men can really accomplish when they work together, especially if good food is the motivator. This was impressive. What they did was really something that got the attention of God. How many of you would like to have the attention of God? Doesn't that sound good? Well, it does, depending on what you're getting attention for. Sometimes I don't want God's attention. But these men here got the attention of God. And just for a little bit of theology about Jesus being in the Old Testament and that he always has been, he wasn't created when he was born of Mary. God says, "Let us go down there," right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there all throughout the Old Testament. "But let us go down there." See, they did something amazing. They did something impressive, but they built something that wasn't going to last. They were in unity, which is great, but it was unity of the flesh. What can we do to make a name for ourselves? It was the wrong motive. A name for ourselves. And it says that the Lord confused their language so they couldn't understand one another and scattered them. Now on the other side, we have this town, Jerusalem. And once upon a time in this town called Jerusalem, we have a time where men gathered in unity. Which again, usually should be a good thing. But they gathered in unity, but this was different. They gathered in unity in response to God. Jesus had told them, go and wait. And they did. And in unity, as they waited, they're a little bit different than the people that built the Tower of Babel. The people in the Tower of Babel, they went and they, instead of waiting, they went and they built something. These people went and they waited and they had nothing. They didn't have anything. They just went into a room and they waited. And while they waited, they prayed. And while they waited, God made a way by the Holy Spirit for them to be like God. Now there's a difference between us trying to do something of the flesh to be like God versus the Holy Spirit giving us a way to be like God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Church, this is what happens when men come together in unity, in obedience to God, and they wait for God to move. His presence fell upon the early church. His power gave them the ability and the boldness to be a witness. Church, this was something where they were given an ability to be like God, but to do something that would endure forever, that the souls of men in Jerusalem would hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we got to understand that unity of the flesh brings bondage, but the unity of the Spirit brings freedom. And this is what happens to the people in Jerusalem. This freedom as the Spirit comes. It's no secret as to why this day happened on Pentecost, right? If you don't know anything about Pentecost, we call this Pentecost Sunday this day, but Pentecost existed before Acts chapter 2. It's actually the reason they all had gathered together and were assembled. It was this time at the end of the Feast of Weeks, which was seven sevens. It was 49 days. Pentecost was the 50th day. Penta meaning 50, right? And they were gathered together, and one of the things they would do on Pentecost is they would remember when God gave the law. They would remember when God gave the law to Moses and gave them the commandments of what they were to do. They gathered together to celebrate God. When we think about the law, what they were together celebrating, right? What did the law really do for the people? Were people able to be like God through the law? No. No, because you can't keep it, right? You can't do it. It's impossible. You know, why would God give the law to his people if they can't do it and if it's impossible? He gave them the law to show them their need for a Savior, to show them that they can't do it on their own. They need someone to save them. And so here they come together to celebrate and recognize the law that you would have to perfectly obey in the flesh, but you can't. And here on Pentecost, not long after Jesus died and was resurrected, we see the Holy Spirit falls upon the church, gives birth to the church, the body of believers who now can be led by the Spirit of God, his ways, his thoughts, his desires, instead of just trying to do everything by their own power, by the flesh. As we look at Babel and Pentecost, we see the difference between the desires of men and the desires of God. We see men trying to be like God versus God trying to lead people to be like Christ. See, in Babel we had a spirit, but it was the spirit of arrogance. It was the spirit of pride. Then when we come to Pentecost, we see Pentecost displays the spirit of humility and obedience. It wasn't about what can we do, it was about what is God going to do, because we need Him. We need Him to move. The Babylonians were so proud that the Lord even said that they could accomplish anything that they wanted to. And out of those things, whatever they could want to do, they wanted to be like God. He destroys the tower to remind them that He is sovereign. He is God. Then we come to Pentecost and we have the 120 who remain in the upper room. Many of you may not realize that there's originally about 500 in the upper room. And over the course of that 10 days, that only 120 stayed and remained faithful. But we have these 120 that they're there for the same reason. They want to be like God. But they want to be like God and they realize their need for His presence in their lives by the power of His Spirit to conform them to the image of Christ. See, when we look at Babel, we look at a time where men were divided because of their language. God said, this isn't going to work. We're going to separate this men. But at Pentecost, God brought a place of unity through language and through the gifts of tongues. In Babylon, the common language was used to empower themselves. Let's build our kingdom. Let's do what we want and make our names known. At the root of that, what were they wanting? Glory. Give us glory. Recognize us for how great we are. But when it comes to Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit enables the church to speak in the languages of all the people where they could all understand and celebrate Pentecost. And these languages were to tell the people that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Messiah, and they need to believe upon Jesus. God uses language to bring people back together. But it's not just coming together to do anything. It's coming together to know Christ and to serve Him and to do His will and His purpose. Babel showed us what men are like when they're full of themselves. Pentecost shows us what it's like when men are full of God. In Babylon, they had a spirit of rebellion, right? This spirit of selfishness and greed and all these different manners of sin that today are just as strong in our world. Man always wants to do things his way. Always wants to take things into his own hands. Don't you think that's how we are in the mess in society that we're in right now? Is because, no, I don't want to hear what God has to say on the topic. How many of today's hot topics have you heard people say, well, that's not actually in the Bible? Yes, it is. You just don't know what you're looking for. Or you're trying to twist the scripture. Well, that's not what it says in the Greek. Yes, it is. You just want to sound smart, like you know what you're talking about, like it's not what God said. And other people want to throw it out and say, that's not for today. Can I tell you the Word of God is timeless? That if it was true when He said it, it's still true today. See, there are things that change in the culture. How many of you guys took a horse and buggy to church today? Just one? Just Dustin? There are things in society that do change. And I'll tell you what, once you move from a horse and buggy and you get electricity in your house and you don't have to go outside to poop, man, life really changes. Life is good, right? But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Word of God, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In whatever society looks like, whatever the culture does, we don't change the Word of God to fit it. The culture needs to change to fit the Word of God. And so when we consider the way that men are on their own, We get full of ourselves, and but that's good for them, but it's not good for us. Everybody should do what they feel, do what makes you happy, speak your truth. No. Read the truth and do what God says to do. That ought to be our heart and our motivator, because I'll tell you what. In Babel, I bet they thought they had something really, really good going. I bet, you know, if it was today, it'd be on everything. It'd be on social media. They'd be doing, you know, selfie videos. They're like, man, look at what we are building. The 12th story went up today. Look at what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? God said, that's enough. When men are full of themselves, they will be stopped by God. They will. It's a guarantee. And when we get full of ourselves and we say, God, you know what? I've got this. I've got a better way. I've got a better path. I got a better plan. All the things that I want and desire because they are good for me. I'm going to tell you what, it's only going to work for a period of time. There's going to be a point where God is going to say, that's enough. That's enough. I'm putting a stop to that. But when we look at the people in the upper room and we look at the people on Pentecost, the early church, as they went and they did what Jesus told them to do. They said, we're going to go and we're going to wait. How many of you guys like to wait? How many of you guys would show up tomorrow if it's like, we're going to show up Monday night and we're going to sit in the church until God speaks? We're going to sit. I don't know what He's going to say, but we're going to sit there until God delivers. He just told me we're supposed to go and sit there. How many of you guys would show up? A quarter? How many of you guys are still going to be there in 10 days? Maybe none of us? I'm just trying to be real with you. But look at what these people did. They went and they waited for the power of the Holy Spirit because they knew that if we're going to do what Jesus has told us to do, then we've got to have something more than this. They could have went out and started preaching the gospel. They knew it. They walked with Jesus. They saw what He did. They heard what He taught. I mean, surely they could have just went out and done it. But look at most of the reports of when they went out and done it and how many times they came back to Jesus and were kind of like, well, it didn't quite go as planned. Because they were missing something. They were missing the power of His Spirit when they went out. These people that waited in the upper room knew they needed something more. Church, when is our world going to realize that they need something more? When are they going to realize that, listen, we as people, we can't just make peace. You realize that? We can't just make peace. Paul told us, as much as it pertains to you, as much as you have to do with it, live peaceably with all men. As much as you can. He didn't say to make peace, because we can't. Only Jesus brings true peace. When we think about all the injustices of the world, many of the agendas that are pushed now are not really injustices. It's just people who hate and deny the truth. But injustice can't really be reconciled and taken care of unless you have someone who is just to make that decision. And it's not man. It's Jesus who is just. And He's also the one who shows us mercy and gives us a new day when we probably don't deserve it. When are we going to realize that if we want things to change, we all need to sit and wait and submit to God's way? What is it that you want for us, God? I'm going to tell you, the Spirit-filled church can change the world. I believe that. I believe the Spirit-filled church can change the world. Because a man full of God is unstoppable. A man full of God can accomplish things that a bunch of men full of themselves can't do. Because a man full of God will do the things of God that don't always make sense to a man. It doesn't always make sense. Anybody ever had God tell you to do something that really made a lot of sense in your eyes, that fit with your plan? Not very often. Man, it's pretty rare. You've got to really already be in tune and really following His plan closely, and then maybe it kind of does because you're already there. But, man, most of the big things that God's called me to do in my life, I'm like, that does not make sense. Right? That's not logical. That's not a thing that seems wise, according to Tim. But listen, it doesn't matter what seems wise according to us. It's what is wise according to God. Babel ended up bringing destruction to this tower, to this city, to this area. But Pentecost, on the flip side, brought us to the foundation of the church. When we consider these people who lived in the plain of Shinar, where they had established to build this tower, they would have been very aware of the story of Noah. They would have been very aware of what God was okay with and what He was not okay with. They would have been very aware of God's wrath toward sin. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you know God's love, you can only know it if you also know God's wrath. It's another one of those things that our society is like, well, if God loves, then no, God loves. And the reason I know that is because I've seen God's wrath toward sin and His desire for us to be right with Him, that He sent His Son to die a brutal death on a cross. Church, that's not a fairy tale. That's God's love for us, that He paid the only way. And when we consider this, these people would have known what was forbidden, yet here they try to gather together and build a name for themselves, ultimately working against God, and God demolishes what they have put together. He destroys what man has built. But on the day of Pentecost, what we see is men come together under the name of Jesus, and God begins to build His church on the rock, who is Jesus Christ. He builds His church this day on the foundation that Jesus is the Christ. You see, this tower in Babel and even the Jewish temple were things that were built with human hands. These were things that men built, one not according to God, one according to God, but they're things that men built. But on Pentecost, God shows that believers, followers of Jesus, are the temple of the living God, that He desires to dwell in us, temples not built with human hands. Hearts that can be just as full. Listen, we can be just as full of the Spirit of God as what the Holy of Holies at the temple was. Just as full. God's presence in me. We can be full of the Spirit of God. In Babel, we see these men scattered across the face of the earth. Ultimately, probably with a message of fear. Look at what God has done, His powerful wrath. But at Pentecost, what we see is believers are once again spread all over the earth, but now they're spread all over the earth to tell the world of Jesus and His power to save. Can you imagine being those people in Babylon during those days? Can you imagine the people telling their children about how it used to be, and then God brought judgment? Right, first we had the flood and its destruction, and then we have this tower and all the stuff we do, and God again brings it to a place of ruin. And people know about the wrath of God, but these people are also afraid to meet God as judge, because few of them knew His love. They only knew His wrath. God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us through His love. At Pentecost, we see these believers, they stay in Jerusalem. Many of them stayed, it said, but it said others went. And you imagine as they were going back and they began to tell about God's love, look at what God has done. right? They began to tell about the prophecies, the miracles, the teachings, then also of the suffering and death of Christ, but then His resurrection and His ascension, and now He sent this amazing Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to be our helper. I think we miss that part when Jesus says, I've got to go to the Father so He can send you the helper. And then we have people who want to reject the help of God. Good luck, man. Right? If we're going to do the things of God and live our life for Jesus, but we're going to reject the help of God, does that make any sense? But we got people who will reject the helper because I don't want anything to be strange. Can I tell you that heaven is strange? Can I tell you that we belong to a place that is much, much different than the place where we live right now? It's different. You read through Revelation and read what John has written, and a lot of the stuff you're like, that doesn't even make sense. What does he mean? What does he mean by streets of gold that you can see through? You can't see through gold. Right? What does he mean by all this stuff he's explaining? He's trying to tell you about something that's not of here. It's something different. It's something unique. It's something that God Himself has built to be our eternal home. The things of heaven are strange. And as I've said a million times, and I'll say it a million more, at Connection Church, we don't want to be strange just for the sake of being strange. We're not trying to be weird. But I'm going to tell you what, at the same time, I know that the things of God are weird to our own flesh. That the things that God does don't always make sense to men. And if we try to stick to everything that makes sense to me, guess what? God's going to bring a stop to it. But if we're to move into what does God have and want for us, we're unstoppable. Churches, these people would go out and tell about Jesus, about what the Holy Spirit has done. They would tell them, you need to repent and believe in Jesus and be baptized and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, you may be thinking that's weird. It's already been done. And why is that necessary? In John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus said this, and He breathed on them, and He said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a place where He's with His disciples. He's with those who have been with Him all along for these 3.5 years, and then some people. And it says He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking after His resurrection. He's already died, been raised to life, and He's around after the resurrection. And right here we see this is the moment of salvation for the disciples. This is the moment they were born again. They're saved. Then He tells the same people that He just said, receive the Holy Spirit. He tells the same people, now I want you to go and wait for the Helper. What does that mean? They just received the Holy Spirit. See, we talk about at salvation being born again. The Holy Spirit comes in you. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. That's breathe on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Then He says, go and wait for the Helper. That there's something more for you to have. There's something more than just living saved. Church, on the day of Pentecost, this marks the beginning of the church because this is the day the church was empowered to operate in true unity because it was the unity of the Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does baptism mean? It means to immerse, to come fully under, to be submerged. They're fully under the Holy Spirit. Submerged in the Holy Spirit. You picture the little dinky flame and all the non-biblical pictures of Pentecost. That's not what it means. It was literally like a tongue of flame. Their whole body was engulfed. They were completely submerged by the Holy Spirit that day. Church, this right here was a day that they needed. It was necessary to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for them to not live for themselves any longer, but for them to live for Christ. It was necessary for them to try to be like God, that they would be fully submitted to God in all their ways. It was necessary, church, for them to do the work of God and to build His kingdom, for them to be Spirit-led. Pat Schaffline said, "Do you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? Absolutely not. But you do need it to get to work." And that's where we fail miserably in the church. Listen, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about salvation. It's not essential for salvation. But it is essential to do the work of God according to the will of God. It is. It is essential for you to live a life that is victorious. That's not just saying, "Well, my life's a wreck and in ruins, but I know that Jesus is victorious." Right? No, we are victorious. We've got to come under perfect submission to the Holy Spirit. Church, we have work to do. Amen? So everybody that said amen, we'll have a sign-up sheet after the service. Some of you guys are doing take-backs. We have work to do. Why aren't we doing it? I think it's often because we're lacking the power to do it. The power that Jesus freely gives us. The power to be a witness. The last two times we've done some kind of outreach and we've invited the other churches in town, we've had about 5 people show up. I think all from our church. 5 people to do an outreach. What's everybody's excuse? Why I'm not called to testify, to evangelize, to go out and talk to people? You're not? I think we all are. I think that we're told to go and make disciples of all the nations. So if you want to go to China and do it, then that's fine. But I mean, you could start with St. Elmo. Listen, church, I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. What I'm saying is I think that maybe we're missing something. We're lacking something that we don't have the freedom to go out and boldly profess what we believe in our heart. We ought to be able to do that. Look at Peter. Peter was a buffoon, sticking his foot in his mouth over and over. And after the day of Pentecost, Peter goes out and preaches a message and sees 3,000 saved. Church, that's what's possible. That may not be what your life calling is, but I'm going to tell you that it's possible. It's possible that it is. That we can receive the power to be a witness, but we can receive the power to be free. The power to deny self, the power to follow Christ no matter what. Luke 3:16, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Church, Pentecost is about the fire. The fire represents the presence of God. The presence of God upon the people of God. I'm going to tell you that Pentecost is for the believer so that we can reach the unbeliever. Pentecost is this time that we receive the fire of God, and the fire of God heats things up. Right? The fire of God heats things up. The fire of God burns away insecurity. The idea of being perfect. The idea of I'm not good enough, not strong enough, I don't have the tools I need. The fire of God can burn those things away. Where we say, of course I'm not good enough. Of course I don't have all that I need. Of course I'm not perfect, but hallelujah, I follow the one who is. And it's Him that I'm here to testify. Listen, I don't go out anywhere and start telling people about how good I am, how great I am. You should come and hear me preach, I'm great. I've never told anybody that in my life. What I hope I can say is that if you come and hear me preach, that you'll hear the truth. Man, that's all I got. That's all I've got is the truth. That's it. And if God can use a donkey like me, right, I think we all could say that. If He could use me to testify of the truth, if that's all I got, hallelujah, that's all I need. As long as I have the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me. As long as I have His presence and His power to overcome. As long as I let Him refine me. And let Him define me and say who I am. Jesus. Right? Our passion for Him. The only one who can heal and save and deliver and restore and set free, Jesus. John tells us He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Who wouldn't want something that Jesus is trying to give us? Who wouldn't want a fire upon our lives that Jesus says is necessary? When Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. And He tells them, this power is going to be for you to be a witness. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the gift of tongues, whether it's prophetic or whether it's personal in a prayer language. I believe in all those things. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, the purpose of all of that, the purpose of all of it, is to have the power to be a witness. That's what Jesus said. It's the power to be a witness. Power. Not just strength or ability, but it specifically means miracle working power. The context of that power is like the power that consists in armies. In you. You, one person. The power that consists in armies. That's what we can do under the power of God. Church, it's time for the church to just stop existing. It's time for the church to stop trying to build for man what we can be remembered for, but instead to build for Jesus and what He can be glorified for. What His name can proclaim. It's time for us to be like God. But it's not in the ways that we can control, in the ways that we can come up with, in the ways that we can plan. It's time to become like God in the ways that we follow His Spirit no matter what. No matter what He says. No matter where He says to go. And we point everything back to Jesus. Less of us and more of Him. Amen. Just stand to your feet with me. This morning, as we end with an altar call, I want to felt like God showed me this morning, if we want to press in, if we want to receive something fresh, something new, it's got to be in unity. You can either be in unity in your own power and in man's power, or we can be in unity in God's power and in His presence. And so as we sing this last song, I just want to ask, if you're willing, if you are in unity, I just want to ask you to come to the front, at least in front of the front. Please begin to come if you're going to do this. We're going to worship Jesus in unity. You don't have to hold hands. I always hate that at the Minister Alliance prayer meetings, they'd want to hold hands. I'm like, I don't think you have to touch to be in unity. If you want to, you can. But as we come forward, I want to praise Jesus in unity. And if you have a desire and a need for something more, I want you to cry out for that. I want you to begin to ask for that. I want you to begin to trust that God has something for you this morning. And Father, we pray right now in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, that You truly are welcome in this place. It's not about songs we sing, but Lord, what do we have if we don't have Your presence? Lord, without Your presence, we just have a bunch of men and women that are smart with good ideas, but Lord, we're not looking for the unity of man. We're looking for the unity of the Spirit. God, we don't want just things of the flesh that are going to fail, but we want the things of God that do not fail. We want the things of God that are going to impact this world for eternity. God, will You release in this place the baptism of Your Spirit? God, that the fire of God would begin to fall on each one of us. God, that we would receive what You have for us right now, that our minds would be blank. Lord, let us find that place of not thinking about or desiring anything but You. Lord, and what You have for us is what we get. Holy Spirit, would Your fire fall? Would You give us a boldness to be a witness? Give us a boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus. Give us a boldness to prophesy. Give us a boldness to loose our tongue and speak when You tell us to speak. Give us the desire to heal and set free, that we would pray for people and see signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. God, would Your power and Your presence come? The power that consists in armies that is available for each and every one of us. We surrender it all to You. Holy Spirit, would You have Your way? Release Your fire upon these people as we worship and we proclaim Your name. We give You praise and honor. Lord, we give You glory in this place. Lord, we declare Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are worthy and You are welcome in my heart, in my life. Lord, if You believe that with me, say it this morning. You are welcome in my heart. Say, You are welcome in my life. I surrender all that I am. I surrender all that I have. All to You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Have Your way. Lord, we believe this morning. We ask that walls would be broken right here, right now, at this altar, that we would find freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it be released as we worship You. As we lift our voice, we just pray, Lord, that You would be faithful to Your word. And that as we lift high the name of Jesus, that You would draw all men to Yourself. It's about You and not about us. But Lord, we want You. In Jesus' name, let's worship Him, church.